And you may also find out that what you need is valid. It's okay to ask for that. It's okay to need it. It's not a weakness on your part to need that. It's completely consistent with your evolution as a man. To give you a little background of where this information came from, I began studying men in 1991 after my friend was called a frog farmer. And a frog farmer, a frog farmer is a woman who does the opposite of the fairy tale. The fairy tale is to kiss a frog and he turns into a prince. A frog farmer turns princes into frogs. And I was very, very good at that, but I didn't know how I accomplished it. I didn't know how I was bringing out the worst in men. So I made a decision to study men and find out what is it that brings out the worst in men, with the hopes of maybe I would discover some things that bring out the best in men. Little did I know that just the effort to understand men and an authentic curiosity and openness to who men are would immediately start bringing out the best in men. They responded instantly to that authentic curiosity. And I began with a question, and the question was, and still is, what if men are responding to women? Now, that's not exactly a genius question since we're responding to each other all the time, but what I realized was I didn't think so. I didn't think that men were responding to me. I thought that however a man interacted with me was the kind of man he was. So if he was nice to me, I'd think, oh, what a nice man. And if he was a jerk to me, I thought he was a jerk 24/7. It never occurred to me that I had anything to do with it until I found out I was a frog farmer and decided to find out what did I have to do with it. And as I set out to find out in what ways were men responding to women, I was also open to, unlike some researchers, I was open to finding out ways that men were not responding to women. And as I compiled what has become really a huge body of work, I discovered all kinds of ways that men are in fact responding to women, and that what they do or say is directly correlated to what we just did or said or a look that we had on our face. But I also found out a bunch of ways that men are not responding to women. And the stages of development are one of those ways. The stages of development are something that happens in a man's life regardless of how he thinks about or feels about the women he's involved with. These are going to profoundly affect him. And what happens after that depends a lot upon how we as women relate to what's happening to him. So one of the things that you'll hear as we talk about each of the stages of development are ways that we normally relate to men, which is thinking that this is a way that they're responding to women and it's bad and they're misbehaving and we've got to intervene, and ways that we actually could have it go much better, that if we shifted our perspective or altered, sort of tweaked the way we did something, that we would be much more successful with men in each of those stages. So let's dive into this. When I originally discovered the stages of development, it was in a conversation with my friend Barbara. And we were talking about the differences that we had noticed in men of different ages. And we were kind of poking fun. And it was before I'd really transformed my relationship with men. And so originally we called these stages boys, guys, and men. And it was really in reference to what happens to a man in a later stage called king, where it's a predicament for a woman because he's a real man. Oh no, what do I do with him? I don't know how to deal with a real man. When we have learned to cajole and manipulate and manage guys, do you know, boys and guys, ah, no biggie, we can handle that. Men, oh my God. So that's where the original wording of boys, guys, and men came from. And then after I transformed my relationship with men,